This is Nursing Uncensored. I'm your host, Adrienne Benning, and I invite you to listen in on conversations I've had with real nurses about the crazy and wonderful lives we lead. This podcast is meant to create laughter in addition to serious discussion, and nothing is off limits. We're always honest, but we're not always safe for work. Please listen responsibly. Welcome to Nursing Uncensored. I am Adrienne Benning, and I am here today with a special guest I'm excited about today, because today Nursing Uncensored is breaking into a really important topic that we haven't covered yet. So today I'm here with Vanessa Peck. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Adrienne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so excited. Yeah,
I'm excited because we are going to talk about something that is relatively new in the United States. And I say relatively new on the grand scale of things. We're going to talk a little bit more about your involvement as a medical cannabis nurse. Mm-hmm. But we were just chatting just a second ago before I started recording about how the state that I live in, Iowa, CBD is legal. The medical cannabis program is very limited, and any kind of recreational is like not even considered by our state legislature. So that's mm-hmm. really disappointing. But you are not in Iowa. What state are you in again?
I'm actually in Vermont. So it's actually quite the opposite from you, where not only is medical marijuana legal, but adult recreational use is legal. And they actually just passed by legislature, which is the second state to only pass by legislature, not by ballot, is for adult recreational sales. So that is going to be legal. Well, it is legal now, mm-hmm. but you'll see that come into effect in 2022, okay. where they're going to be regulating the sale of adult use cannabis, where they tax it. So, yeah.
And that's a good thing, because we've seen other states pull a lot of revenue from these taxes, which they've used for social programs, infrastructure that's been neglected for years. So
exactly.
I say tax it. You know, I don't have a lot of knowledge about what other states are doing. And of course, with it being illegal in Iowa, it is not something that I can go out and purchase. So this is like a whole new territory for me. So I'm really excited to talk more about this. Can you first maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey through nursing, how you got here to this position?
Yeah, of course. I'd love to. Cool. So I have 12 years practice of nursing practice. Pretty much 11 years of it has been in the ER, trauma, and the pediatric side of emergency medicine. I've done adult and pediatric. And, you know, I love nursing, love bedside nursing. But, you know, working at the bedside, you see the conventional work just so far. And you've actually seen a lot of the traditional conventional way of medicine fail a lot of patients. I mean, it does great stuff. In the ER, we need conventional medicine when somebody's in an acute situation. But when it comes to the long term and sustaining in the long term, you kind of see conventional tend to fail people. And for me, this can be pretty frustrating as it is for the patient. So, you know, I always had an interest in some sort of alternative components of medicine. And it wasn't until past experience about 2 years ago, working in a pediatric ER, I actually had an autistic child that mom brought in for certain symptoms that he was having at the time. And unfortunately, he had to be admitted. Mom had pulled the ER doctor and I aside saying, "Hey, just so you know, like once he finds out he's admitted, it's probably going to be kind of a catastrophic event for him. And he's going to have a meltdown. So I'm just forewarning you, but we'll see what happens." You know, mom knows their children, and he did unfortunately have a meltdown, and he was pacing back and forth in the room, yelling, and it was getting, it was difficult to try to calm him down. The ER physician said to me, "Hey, Vanessa, you know, I will order Ativan as needed through the IV." Ativan, for those who don't know, is a sedative. And if you need to give it, give it. So I let mom know, and she was like, "That's fine. That's great." But she's like, "I actually have a CBD oil and I'm going to try that first. Usually works in 15, 20 minutes. And if by 20 minutes, he's still as bad as he is now, then we'll go with the Ativan." So let mom do her thing. I let the ER doc know. And she's the ER doc I was working with at the time, very, you know, open to things. And she's like, "Yeah, sure. If Mom says it works. Let her try it. We'll go from there. And went about my business. And probably about 20 minutes later, you know, I started approaching the room to see how everything was going. And it was so quiet. And before I even got into the room, I was like, nah, what? So I walked into the room and there he was laying in bed, watching TV, laughing with his parents. And I think mom could see it all over my face that I was just astounded by what I was seeing, like what I saw 20 minutes ago to what I saw then. And we just had this open dialogue and she told me their journey pretty much, you know, he had been on and off a ton of medications. One medication would work, but it would only work temporarily, or a medication wouldn't work, or one that did work had tons of side effects. She was like, at one point he was on just a slew of medications and she was getting frustrated and she heard about CBD. She was doing a little bit of research and kind of went on her own and tried it. And she was like, it worked so much better than anything else that my son had been on. She said, I saw a change in my son. I saw a change in his quality of life, in our family life. And at that point, you know, that was in New Jersey at that point. And it still wasn't really accepted there. And she's like, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. This is what works for us. There's been such a difference. And from there, I was just amazed. And I kind of dabbled in the research and then, listening to another podcast actually about cannabis nursing is what kind of just really set it off for me. And I was like, I thought about that past experience listening to it now. And I was like, this is my journey. Like, this is what I need to do. And then it's just kind of been a journey since.
That's awesome. And you know, yeah. I've seen spots on the news or certain news specials, documentaries about people who are using CBD and, you know, other derivatives of the hemp or the cannabis plant. And they're having not only improvement in their symptoms, but like my brother, you know, for his privacy, I won't talk a lot about him, but he's been on a lot of medications over the course of his life. And they all come with a lot of side effects, some of them really intense. Like we're talking powerful medications. And then to see someone do so much better when they're offered CBD. And the side effects, like the worst side effects are actually not anywhere near as bad as the side effects of some of these other like really powerful, you know, man-made chemicals. So then we're also getting back to the, I don't know. I just feel like it's an approach that now that we're able to do research on it, we're seeing so much more, for, adults, kids. And I know that in some states it is still controversial and it's even more controversial when children are involved, but
it's hard to
let that argument stand when you're seeing in front of your eyes the improvement that these kids are having. I was watching a few videos before we got on this call just about kids that have like intractable seizures, severe epilepsy, where their whole life is spent either in a seizure or recovering from a seizure.
Exactly.
And then they start these treatments and these kids they're functional and happy.
Yeah.
Not just functional, but like progressing.
Exactly. Where they're having these neurological developments, cognitive developments that parents didn't see before, without the CBD, you know, and parents just saying it's life changing. And some of these kids with treatment resistant epilepsy who then take CBD, not only are the seizures dissipating by eye, but they're also finding that when they go do a repeat EEG, there's no seizure activity on the EEG as well. So, you know, we have to start, you know, there's been so much propaganda around the stigma of cannabis. And the more that propaganda was put out, and if you keep putting it in front of somebody's face, the propaganda, of course, that's what they're going to believe. Like, oh, obviously it's bad for you. But really there's been science since the 1800s. And I know people are probably like, oh, come on. But I mean, some real legitimate science since the 1800s and that continue till now that show how beneficial cannabis is as a medicine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so many people want to talk about, well, THC, it's psychoactive, the developing brain of the child. Well, you're also talking about studies. They're talking about high doses of THC. You're talking about it in the recreational form. Mm-hmm. And we don't know where these strains or these, we call them chemovars, which are just chemical varieties of cannabis. You're not talking about the medicinal side of it and how dosing is done that way. But all these bad side effects and all these studies that say it's bad, it's coming from the recreational use and these high doses of THC. And that's not how we treat patients.
And when we're talking about even the risk of psychoactive properties of THC, even if that is something that's a component for some pediatric patients, is that more or less aggressive than repeat seizures, behavioral disorders, these things that are very violent to that child's life? So I, you know, maybe this is obviously a very controversial subject, but and I'm not a parent, so I'm speaking very hypothetically, but I would, not only that, sorry, all of these thoughts coming to me at once.
No, Ativan, I love it.
Ativan makes you a little high.
It does.
So when you're,
it gives you a euphoric feeling.
Yeah. So when you give a kid Ativan for seizures, so that's kind of a moot point for me, even though, you know, a lot of these medications don't have that psychoactive effect. So that kind of doesn't apply here. But even if it did, I feel like that's so much less violent on the developing brain than some of the conditions that we're treating in the first place.
Definitely. And, you know, when it comes to cannabis, we're talking about all the constituents of cannabis, right? Uh-huh. So we're talking about CBD, we're talking about THC, we're talking CBN, CBG, terpenes. There's so much more to it than people realize. Right. And say, most of the time you want to start a pediatric patient on CBD first. And there may be cases where some pediatrics may need the benefits of THC because maybe CBD is not enough. But when parents get concerned about their child getting quote unquote high, the CBD is actually an antidote for THC. So it actually counteracts that, you know, psychoactive effect that parents are so concerned about having their child have. But we're actually finding that a lot of these conditions, studies have found that the psychoactive effect of THC can actually be better tolerated by a child who may be deficient in these cannabinoids. And they actually probably don't experience the effects as somebody who's really healthy like you and I, and we take THC and we're going to feel more of it. But really at the end of the day, a psychoactive effect, while it can be unpleasant sometimes for some, nobody can overdose on cannabis. It's never been seen. You can look it up on the CDC. CDC shows you all the deaths from opioids, shows you all the deaths from tobacco, shows you all the deaths from other medications, but they actually don't even have cannabis on there anymore because there's never been a fatality from cannabis. Right. Because our body, we have a system called the endocannabinoid system that already creates these internal cannabinoids that are also found in the cannabis plant. So, you know, you have to start to question, like, how come Mother Nature placed this plant on this earth and we have this system that actually can benefit from the supplementation of it? And when people are supplemented with it that have these issues or these conditions, and it doesn't even have to be autism or any other conditions associated with pediatrics, but, you know, people with fibromyalgia, people with Crohn's, anxiety, depression, PTSD, we're seeing all these people really benefit and respond exceptionally well to it. So we have to question, you know, why this plant is so beneficial for some people. Obviously, there's something missing within internally, and that when we supplement, just like we would supplement a vitamin or scurvy with vitamin C, why people are responding to it.
Sure. And one of the videos that I was watching was also talking about how some of these elements of, and again, I don't know the chemistry of it, so my language might be incorrect.
No.
But all of the different, like, I always think of the word phytochemical. That feels like a really fancy word to use. But yeah, all of these different elements of the plant, like you said, there's not going to be any overdose potential. As a nurse, I give people Ativan, morphine. I'm giving drugs where I have to be very cautious that I'm not giving too much because we worry about nervous system depression, respiratory depression. Like, you can literally die from improper use of benzodiazepines, opioids, and so this alone is a huge deal when we're talking about the treatment of illnesses and disorders. And a lot of people I've heard from the little research that I've done, the Google research that I've done, mm-hmm. is that it also helps eliminate polypharmacy for a lot of people. They were talking about how it doesn't just treat like the underlying, whatever the condition is, but it can mm-hmm. help with constipation, nausea, lack of appetite, like mm-hmm. all of the things that we typically make fun of with recreational cannabis use, of like getting the munchies and like mm-hmm. being relaxed and, you know, that sort of thing. But really, when we are using it responsibly and appropriately for these patients, we're seeing a decrease in the need to take all of these different medications that treat, you know, the running kind of joke, I guess, that you're taking one pill to treat the side effects of another pill that's treating the side effects of another pill. So I think it's really interesting. And like you said, our brains, our bodies were designed to utilize these things. Mm-hmm. And so I just find it that the more and more research we have about this, the more and more I become interested in this topic. That, as I've said, is pretty limited. And so that's why I'm glad that we're here talking about this, because I feel like a medical cannabis for dummies is what a lot of us need, because 100%. It is very complex, though. We are talking mm-hmm. about a lot of different properties of this plant, essentially.
Definitely. I totally agree.
So how does a nurse, you know, since most of my listeners are nursing students or practicing nurses, a lot of new nurses as well, how mm-hmm. does a nurse begin to learn about the endocannabinoid system, about medical cannabis use? What are some of the things that you did initially to educate yourself on this topic?
Yep. So I at first, when I was like dabbling in it, it was always when I was coming across, you know, continuing education credits and people that may have been writing some articles on it. But listening to podcasts, there's so many podcasts mm-hmm. out there that are pro cannabis and that are supporting it, that are bringing on not only medical professionals, but people that are these real advocates that are forging forth, anywhere from the growing industry, cultivating industry, selling, retail industry, to medical professionals. I mean, you really learn a lot from everybody in this industry. So even just listening to lots of podcasts, if you just look up cannabis podcasts, a ton is going to come up. The other thing is that there are several cannabis nurses out there who offer education programs. I actually got my certificate from the Training Academy of Cannabis Medicine, Training Academy of Medical Cannabis, with Lisa Hedden. And she is so on top of this information. She really knows a lot about this industry. So I got my certificate through there and learned more about the endocannabinoid system through there. If somebody's not ready to go that route, even joining something like the Cannabis Nurses Network, that have some of the leading cannabis nurses that have been doing this for 20 years already and have really trailblazed this path for a lot of us mm-hmm. That are interested in it, has a ton of resources. You can also buy some of their continuing education courses on there as well, that goes through endocannabinoid system 101. And then there's other courses that go even deeper into that. And then if you wanted to become certified and do something with it, is another route as well. And that's when you can get a certificate. So there's a lot of stuff out there. And then in terms of advocacy, you know, if you wanted to see what's going on in your state, or if you wanted to become a proponent and get behind it, you know, whether it's getting it legalized in your state or just getting more qualifying conditions for your state to accept for medical cannabis. There's this great organization called NORML, NORML. Mm-hmm. They're always updating their website, like hourly, it feels like, on all the new information, state by state, how you can get involved, petitions, and so forth.
Yeah. And don't they report on a lot of legislation that's like already in progress and yes. changes being made?
Mm-hmm. Constantly. Yeah. Yes.
I'll add some links in the show notes for that, because it sounds like there's a ton of information. I've seen a couple continuing education things online, but I haven't done any of them yet. So maybe this is my call to educate myself a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And the Cannabis Nurses Network really is fantastic. And it's not just for anybody who's just a nurse, but if you're just interested in cannabis and learning, it really is fantastic resource. These nurses, I mean, and they constantly have things going on almost every day to every other day that you can log in for speakers if you wanted to learn something, whether it's cannabis and PTSD. They just did a big talk on psilocybins, which is another part of this industry that is coming about and hopefully to fruition as well. We're seeing a lot of movement in that direction too. So there's a lot of cutting edge stuff that's happening, and you're going to see, you know, while this industry is in its infancy, it's going to explode because there's a lot of people in the country, as we're polling more and more people, who want cannabis legalized. They believe in it and what it can do. It's going to go that direction.
Especially the more people are using this medication, or you know, this treatment plan, and seeing improvement in symptoms, other people are going to say, "Well, why can't I have that? Why is it that the fact that I live on this side of the border, I can't have this treatment? But if I live 2 hours west, I could see a change in the quality of life." So I think that's interesting. I'm interested to see where this goes. I hope to someday live in a state that is not so rigid and short-sighted, because actually our governor, who I never miss a chance to rag on a little bit, this is not your opinion whatsoever. This is all me, but she has a history of DUIs, and she once said to the press that she didn't think that people should have access to medical or recreational cannabis because she's battled with addiction, and she knows. And it's like,
unbelievable.
What do your DUIs have to do with medical cannabis?
Exactly. And it's just so funny, because when you talk about it, just comparing alcohol with cannabis, here we have alcohol that damages the body, kills brain cells, can kill the liver, can really create all these secondary problems, also primary problems. It has cognitive declination with it. And now here we have cannabis, which is actually known to be neuroprotective. We actually do not have receptors within our central nervous system that it attaches to really create addiction or an overdose. That's why we don't see overdoses with it. You know, so the safety and efficacy of it is there, but yet people can drink and be impaired and kill their brain cells and really, do damage to their body. So,
and I take care of end of life patients in my job, we see a lot of alcohol related liver disease.
And I believe it.
I'll tell you, it's a terrible, terrible way to die. It's horrible.
It's like suffering. Complete.
It absolutely
suffering.
Is. It's not. It's not. I don't wish that on anybody. And yet, if I wanted to, I could go and purchase an endless amount of it. So I feel that it's really an imbalance in our society that we've had for far too long. And I think, you know, the propaganda has been powerful, and we don't see that type of, we see maybe a little bit of anti-alcohol propaganda, but we see a lot of glorification even. And so
definitely
I'd like to see the table turn on that. And the more and more we have nurses educating themselves and speaking out, the more steam we put behind this industry. So then once you have this certification, this education, what does a cannabis nurse, like what are some roles that you see cannabis nurses doing?
Yeah, I think it's endless really. And it's up to the nurse really. But I think one, this is a door to open up nurses to even entrepreneurship. You know, a lot of us think like our lives are stuck at the bedside and we don't see anything else. Or we say like, no, I'm not fit to do that. I can't do business. I can't do this. Or if you still wanted to be at the bedside and just have that knowledge for your patients to educate, I mean, nurses are best positioned to really get into the cannabis industry, because that's all we do is educate. And that's what this is. And we're all about advocating for our patients. So, you know, you could do something, you know, completely different than what you've done, where you get away from the bedside, you own your own consulting business, and you're educating patients and kind of navigating them through the cannabis, the world of cannabis, because it can be confusing. There's a lot of information out there. Why does it work? Why doesn't it work? You know, what do I use? What's the dose? But then we can, you know, do a lot of advocacy. Some people just want to go the route at advocacy, just learn everything possible and make this accessible for anyone and everyone and have every condition qualified that deserves to have it. So there are definitely a lot of routes to go with it. I think even just having a working knowledge of it, because you're going to find more and more patients using medical cannabis. And I think that's really important for a nurse to know when they come in. And, you know, maybe you have a patient that's having a lot of pain and they're having an acute issue with it and they're refusing pain meds. And some nurses maybe don't understand that, but maybe there's a reason why, but that medical cannabis is their route. And if they don't understand, well, why would somebody use cannabis? Like, and how does that work? Like, so I think it's just even having that working knowledge as a nurse is really important as we see more and more patients start using it.
Absolutely. So what have been, you have a business.
Yes.
Have Elevated Healing. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like what you specifically do in your work?
Sure. So, so many cannabis nurses are working with so many types of people from pediatrics to adults. I chose to work specifically with pediatrics. You just see such a struggle that these parents have, with their children, you know, and when you're trying to protect your child and you feel like something's not working, you know, sometimes you feel like you're at your wit's end and you feel like you're helpless and hopeless, like nothing's working. What am I going to do? So my goal is to, educate as many parents as I can, about the world of cannabis and that it being a viable option and the reasons why it's a viable option, for their child, you know, provide them with as much information as I can. If they decide to try using medical cannabis, that's up to them. But with all the information out there, misinformation or the stigma around it, you know, I think some people may want to try it. Some parents may want to try it, but mm-hmm. are just really reluctant to because of the stigma or just really not knowing all the information. So my goal is to, you know, if somebody comes to me and they're interested in it, then I can help, you know, guide them through this world of cannabis, whether, you know, it's CBD that they want to try or THC and CBD, you know, what route do we want to go? How are we going to give it? What's the dose? And try to achieve the outcome, whether it's, you know, we want to decrease irritability or it's ADHD and we're trying to get the child more focused and less hyperactive, or if it's anxiety, depression. So right now I'm currently focusing on autism, treatment-resistant epilepsy, behavioral issues such as anxiety, depression, ADD, ADHD. And then if there's children who have cancer and taking chemo and parents are looking for another alternative either to help combat the cancer or any symptoms from the chemo with cannabis, and then also a condition called PANDAS.
PANDAS. I had to look this up. I had never heard of this before.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about PANDAS?
Yeah. So it's still a very controversial area, but it's kids who were perfectly normal, end up having a strep infection of some sort, whether it's, you know, sore throat strep infection, or maybe it could be scarlet fever, which is caused by a strep infection. And then after having these infections, these kids are developing like OCD, tics, and a couple other behavioral issues. So it's still very controversial. Some people believe it, other people don't. Some people just think it's like a cover up for just these behavioral issues. But there really is some evidence behind it. And then it's just supporting the endocannabinoid system with some cannabis to help reduce some of these behavioral issues that they're having after this strep infection.
Interesting. Yeah. Anecdotally, I've seen patients that have certain infections, like viral infections that they get very sick mm-hmm. from, and then it kicks up some kind of like underlying autoimmune illness or other mm-hmm. neurologic pathology that maybe otherwise wouldn't have happened. So
exactly.
I think that's really interesting. I always hate when people say medical things are controversial. It's like, well, then let's do research. Let's
exactly.
figure out, let's not argue about whether or not we believe in something. Let's put it to the science, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're seeing happen more and more. And I think that a lot of the states and medical professionals that are paving the way are setting us up for kind of this like domino effect. It's going to be harder and harder to argue the benefits and the safety and the positivity of these treatments, the more evidence we have.
Exactly.
And as nurses, we're always taught to question and to know our sources. And so I look forward to a future where they're actually, if someone says, well, I think cannabis is this, and you can say, actually, here's a lit review of all these studies that say it's not.
So exactly.
That's coming. But we were banned from even doing research for so long in the United States that I feel like, you know, the water was held back by the dam for so long. And now the research is just like pouring out. So
yeah,
I look forward to doing more reading about that.
Definitely.
So what have been some of the struggles that you've had in establishing your business and in not just the establishing the business itself, but like in providing services? Just the biggest challenges that maybe we don't realize.
Yeah, no, I think it's a combination of the two things that you actually mentioned. I mean, there is a struggle into starting the business and getting it up and running and getting people to you. You know, I think especially working in pediatrics, a lot of families, especially with these chronic conditions, they've been through the ringer. You know, they've been to a lot of people. I'm telling you, these parents are educated. You know, not only are they have a high education background to begin with, but these are parents that are doing tons of research. They know the pros, the cons, they know the studies, they've been there, they've talked to a lot of people, these networks are tight, they talk, they know their stuff. So now when you come in as another medical professional, especially if they've been through the ringer and they're not seeing results and they're frustrated beyond frustrated at their wits' end. And then if you're coming and saying that you have a viable option, I think a lot of them are trepidous and they really approach very judiciously, that they are not quick to be like, oh, quick fix, great. It's more like, you know, is this another one of the snake oil type things where, you know, oh, it's too good to be true. Yeah, I heard that before. Every professional says that. I want to see the numbers. I want to see the data. You know, there's no, you definitely can connect emotionally with them, but they want to see the numbers. They want to see the data. They want to know before they try. So that is, I think, one of the biggest hurdles. And then the other hurdle is, you know, if they do decide that they want to try medical cannabis, then it's them getting on board, but then it's them getting their clinicians, their healthcare team of their child on board as well. I think there's still a lot of barriers to break down there as well. What people don't realize is that the endocannabinoid system is not taught in medical schools. It's not taught in nursing schools. I think about 10% or less. Maybe there's a little bit more now of medical schools that are actually teaching about the endocannabinoid system, but because marijuana is still a Schedule I drug, it's still like hush hush, we can't talk about that. And I'm not saying there aren't proponents of this. There are definitely doctors out there that are pro cannabis that have learned everything, that believe in it. There are nurses out there that believe in it, but there's still a lot of people that don't. So sometimes having a parent agree or want to explore this option of cannabis, you know, then they're trepidous about going to their child's clinician to have that conversation and feeling like they're going to get shot down or they're not supportive of it. And if they're not supportive of it, then it's like, well, where do I go from here? You know, this is something that I want to do, but I want to have a medical professional overseeing it as well, which is strongly encouraged and suggested. Of course, we want to make sure that you have the right medical professional health, but you want somebody that's on your side as well. So these combination of things makes these hurdles pretty difficult to get over. But you know, if you stay persistent with it and you really believe in it, and you really teach people the right information, I think you're going to see more and more proponents. And these parents, as you educate them, they're going to become the expert in it, and that they're actually going to be educating their own the medical professionals they work with and work with their child. So these parents are going to become more knowledgeable in this subject than most.
And like you were saying, they run in tight circles. They're communicating with other families going through similar things. I know that I have family that have very rare autoimmune issues, and they are the ones educating their physicians. And so I can see a lot of this being true as well. These patients, parents of patients going into their physicians or their nurse practitioners or whoever they're seeing and saying, this is what I want to try, and then having really strong arguments for that. So I think it's interesting that the players in this game of making sure that everything is available to patients, that these options are available to patients. But I think it's interesting that there are so many people involved, the parents, the physicians, the nurse, whatever other holistic providers are involved, nutritionists, all of that. So, in nursing school, I learned nothing. I'd never heard the words endocannabinoid system until, the last few years of just things being in the media. And it's just interesting. I know nursing school can't cover everything you will ever need to know, but that's a major part of our system. And so it's a shame that it's not taught. I think that's just another leftover remnant of the American like reefer madness propaganda.
Definitely.
Like evil and
exactly.
It's going to ruin a generation. And it's just not true.
You know, even if nursing schools don't, incorporate this or integrate this into their curriculum, even if nursing schools could start by introducing it like through a guest speaker where it's like, hey, there's this other part that, we don't teach it. It's not there yet, but it's something that we want to expose you to me would be forward movement. And you'd probably see it propel and hopefully take off over time, that hopefully it would be something that would become a part of the nursing curriculum for these nursing schools.
Absolutely. So what is your recommendation for nurses if they're in a state that they, they have access to, how do I want to say this? Nurses that have the opportunity to go into the medical cannabis business. Legally, were there a lot of hurdles that you had to jump over to make this happen?
Not yet. And I can say, even though I'm in a state where, it's legal, recreational, medically, on the nursing side, there are a couple other cannabis nurses here. One that I've been coming closer with as we, you talk more. And she's been, really forging forth with this, state to get more support for nurses and being the educators behind this for patients. And I can tell you on a state to state basis, right now, the state of Vermont doesn't really support cannabis nurses and what we do. And I know this one particular nurse is working hard, and she's invited me to help her forge this to get more support for cannabis nurses here in this state. But it is supported by the American Nurses Association that states like nurses should be educated in this. Nurses should understand and have working knowledge of this, that it's a very important part of our practice. And also even on the national standard as well, nursing organizations, saying nurses need to know about this. They need a working knowledge. So again, it's on a state-to-state basis whether or not nurses are getting support behind this. But the fact that we have the, the American Nurses Association and some other national organizations, we should not take that lightly and forge forth and be, the ones that are holding this knowledge and can really help patients navigate through cannabis or even just suggest it and look into it and advocate for it.
And, continuing to educate ourselves and educating each other. Nurses Definitely. Are educators by nature. I mean, it's we from the minute we decide we want to be nurses, we're telling people what to do with their care, helping direct care, even among, my partner the other day cut his finger pretty badly. And I don't know what he's fine. He's okay. he was making me broccoli cheddar soup and it went a little awry, but he was like, I don't know what I would have done if you weren't here. And so it just goes to show that like your life is always a little bit, I just set off my Amazon Alexa. Let's turn that. Oh. But it just goes to show that your life is always a little bit better when you have a nurse around, because
it's true.
The education and the advocacy and, the free medical care that we provide.
Yeah, that's exactly. But that's why nurses are so well positioned for something like this in our industry. This is why, nurses being at the forefront in terms of medical cannabis, I mean, we really could make a difference here. We really could break down a lot of barriers because just of who we are by nature, we're educators.
So in addition to educating ourselves and others and networking with these organizations that are pro-cannabis, do you have any suggestions? Because this is stuff that I know nothing about. I mean, obviously, we should be contacting our legislators paying attention mm-hmm. to legislation that's coming up, but like, what yep. does that look like? How do we each in our own respective states find how to do this?
Yeah. I mean, you can just Google to see who, you know, where you could go, but really that normal organization I was telling you about, oh, I mean, yeah. they list stuff state by state, and you can actually see because of the election that's going on, literally it's listing state by state, like who your governor is, like which states should be contacting their governor right now for X, Y, and Z, which states should be contacting their Senate right now for X, Y, and Z based on what type of movement that state should be moving towards, whether it's decriminalization, legalization, access of some sort. But that normal organization really lays it all out. And I think it's a great starting point for anybody who's looking to be on the advocacy side and make a difference. Right now, there's even a petition up there that you can sign to get both Biden and Trump behind legalizing medical.
Got it.
In a cannabis, if you wanted to sign that petition, and then, you know, you can share it to Facebook, and they really give you a lot of, if you're in support of it, they give you a lot of good tools and resources to be able to do that.
Excellent. So bookmark Norm, and that, correct me if I'm wrong, their website mm-hmm. is like, it's NORML. Is that
correct?
Right? Okay.
Yes.
So yeah. I'll make sure that I have a link for that. I didn't realize it had state by state info. So I'm actually
going to
go check that out. I know that there are people in my state working towards it. But I think that our program is limited to a short list of conditions. And I think there's only like 4 or 5 dispensaries in the state. We have 100 yeah. counties in Iowa.
Crazy.
And I think we have like 4 dispensaries. And I don't know yeah. if any of them are in, I don't know where they are. I really don't. I have no idea.
Right. But you could probably even find that on Normal as well. Like they have like laws by each state. Like if somebody was like, I don't even know what my cannabis laws are exactly. What are they exactly? You know, what is the difference between decriminalization and legalization and adult use and, you know, all the information that you could possibly Excellent. Want. I mean, it's a really great starting point.
Excellent. There. I will check that out myself. Encourage my listeners to check that out. How do people get in contact with you if they want to learn more, check out your socials? Where do we find you at?
Sure. So my website is elevated-healing.com. You can find me on Facebook. My business page is elevated-healing. And then you can find me on Instagram. This one I had to get a little creative with because Elevated Healing is a popular name, is elevated_healing.
Okay.
So that's where you can find me.
All yeah. right. I'll link all of that as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have any parting thoughts or advice or anything that you want to send out to my audience?
Yeah, no, I definitely just strongly encourage anyone and everyone to really learn about the endocannabinoid system, really, you know, have it become a part of your practice, understand cannabis, how it can be beneficial. Not only can it help support people that have chronic illnesses, but it's also good for wellness and health prevention. So any of us should really, you know, have the opportunity to take CBD to support our own systems. And it's a great, if you're thinking about changing something that you're doing in your nursing practice, you know, it really is a great spot to check out.
Sure. And I need to say, just because the internet is a crazy place, if it is illegal in your state, I am not encouraging you to break any laws, but I am encouraging you to be active in making laws in your state, making this available, because as you said, this is a really promising field of study and nursing.
It is. So
I want to thank you so much for joining me today. This is a wonderful topic. I think that more and more discussion needs to be had. And so I'm really grateful that you took time out of your day to talk to me.
Well, I thank you for having me because it was a great conversation and I love getting the information out there. So thank you.
Yes, excellent. And I want to wish everybody out there happy nursing. Here at Nursing Uncensored, we may be, well, uncensored, but we're not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA. The things we talk about are from years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, we're definitely not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide helpful and accurate information. But don't take anything we say as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers, educational, or professional institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, folks.